Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 5 of the ELAC Matters podcast. My name is Dave Adelson, and I'm a candidate for AFT 1521 chapter president here at ELAC. Thankfully, we're down to the stretch run. Voting will end this Thursday, May 2nd, at a minute before midnight. If you haven't voted already, I hope you'll consider casting a vote for me for chapter president. Look in your Outlook inbox for an email from AAA Elections in order to get the details on how to cast your vote. If you have already voted and you want to see me get elected to the position, I hope you'll take the time to reach out to one or more other union members who haven't voted yet and suggest that they check out this podcast series to see what they think. Today I want to talk about guild level politics, that is, the conflicts I've noted at the level of our e-board and what I make of them, particularly of the distance between the explicit and implicit issues being wrangled over. In the course of that, I'll explain why I'm supporting the re-elect results slate, including James McKeever for guild president, and why I'm supporting Jose Isaias and Tina Dominguez for e-board here at East. There are a few others running that I'd also support, but I haven't had the chance to talk with them as I have with Jose and Tina, and so I don't want to make representations about their perspectives or what they'll do that I haven't cleared with them first. Before I get to the substance of today's cast, just a couple of quick notes. With the close of the voting, I won't be able to do mailings to all of you using campus mail anymore. I do, however, plan to keep doing this podcast in the hopes that it can be a platform for any of you who would like to bring forward issues to the attention of the membership, either anonymously by asking me to present them, or you yourself can come on the cast to talk about things. And I'd encourage you, even if you disagree with things I've said, please come on the cast because I'd like to model the kind of discussions here on this podcast that I'd love to find out were happening all over campus. I'd also like to make it possible for people who can't or don't want to make meetings to be able to keep track of and participate in discussions about what's going on in our union and at our workplace. And more than anything, I want there to be a platform where we can talk in particular about long-range issues, such as how technology and legislative changes are reshaping our social role and our work, and what role we can play in those processes outside existing channels, which very often demand a great deal of time but yield precious little in terms of impact, thereby making it impossible for busy, effective people to justify the time required to participate in those ways. Since I won't be able to email you en masse after Thursday, I've gone ahead and registered this podcast with Apple Podcasts and Spotify, so you should be able to find ELAC Matters listed on whatever podcast app or platform you use. If you don't see it on your preferred app, please drop me a line at adelson.elac@gmail.com and let me know, and I'll try and remedy that. I do hope, however, to have one more cast out before Thursday about adjunct life and organizing, but I can't guarantee it because these things take a lot of time to do properly. I will definitely be doing a cast on AI and how critical I think the licensing provisions will be. For example, when we do prompt engineering / instruction tuning for or with tutor bots or grade bots, how will that valuable work of ours be owned and how will it be shared? And what say will we have in that? The answer to that question and many like it will be important for shaping our future work. And the answers are up for grabs. Sometimes even the questions are up for grabs. So we need to be talking about and thinking about such things a lot. And the best time to start on that is yesterday. Second best is tomorrow, and third best is next week, which is when I've targeted releasing the episode on AI. I have a couple of guests lined up for that, so it won't just be me rattling on and on. And I do hope you'll subscribe to the cast and check it out. Two other things before I get to the content of today's cast. First, I plan to have a little end-of-the-campaign celebration at the Shakey's on Atlantic, just north of the campus, on this coming Thursday, May 2nd, from 5 to about 7:30 p.m., pizza and the first round of beers and possibly a second or third round will be on me, and it'd be great to see as many of you out there as can make it. It's important that you show up, because if no one does show up, then I'm going to be forced to eat a great deal more pizza than my diet permits, and that'll be on your head, and I'm sure you don't want to carry around that kind of guilt. So please, come on out this coming Thursday from 5 to 7:30 p.m. at the Shakey's just north of campus on Atlantic. Lastly, over the course of the campaign, I've had a number of expenses, the mailing to all the members being the largest of these, but there have also been expenses such as getting the website and domain name registrations and hosting and a number of other things. I'd be grateful for any donation you'd be willing to make to help defray those expenses. I've set up a GoFundMe site, and the link to that GoFundMe you'll find at the elacmatters.org website and a link also at my elacdave.org campaign site. If those links aren't up by the time you hear this, please just email me at adelson.elac@gmail.com and I'll send you the link. I'd be very grateful for any donation to help defray those expenses, and I'll send an itemized list of my expenses at the end of the campaign to all donors. And in the unlikely event of more donations than costs, I'll spend the excess either on another pizza party for you all, or I'll just donate it to the guild. Okay, that's the admin stuff. Now to the content of today's cast. So, regarding the guild level election, I'm supporting James McKeever for guild president and the re-elect result slate, which includes Bill Ellerton Seelig for vice president, who was our lead negotiator in the contract negotiations, and Sharon Hendricks for treasurer and Jenny Galvez for secretary. The latter two are running unopposed. The reason for my choice in this is related to what I mentioned in my previous cast, which was that in my years here at East, I've looked for any number of ways to be involved to the extent I have time available. But I've found here that it's really quite difficult to find things that lead to action or change, or even developing relationships within the union. In the absence of what I felt were opportunities for meaningful engagement with our chapter, rather than trying to fight about it with anyone, I instead spent what time I had available for such things by responding to a number of the appeals that were made by the guild for members to be involved. So this included invitations to do phone banking around the trustee elections, trying to get people out to trustee meetings when important things were on the agenda, engagement around the campaign for adjunct healthcare, showing up at events and organizing trainings put on by CFT, and showing up in solidarity with the labor actions of other unions around town to demonstrate AFT 1521 support for them, including the pickets and rallies of the Writers Guild, Unite Here, SEIU, UTLA, and our sister union down at El Camino College. I went out to a number of these actions, at least one of each of those. I frequently ran into James McKeever at many of these events, and I found him to be an encouraging and engaged leader. I feel that those guild-level efforts are a sign of health in our union, and so I want to support that. And I was happy that at the level of the guild, there was a real effort to create more rank-and-file engagement. I think that's important. Now, in the course of the candidates' forums that were held on each of the campuses or by Zoom for each of the campuses, the candidates for guild level office, including James McKeever and Sandra Lee, who is running against him for guild president, Sandra raised the notion that the guild had been promoting the creation of what she referred to as a shadow union, by which she meant the contract action teams or CAT structure that the guild was promoting on each of the campuses during contract negotiations and which are now being called campus action teams. Framing the effort to organize and mobilize rank and file members as an effort to create a shadow union, I think, puts a negative spin on this idea of creating more member engagement. At some campuses, Trade, Pierce, City, Mission, the guild's organizing efforts were welcomed, and the chapter president supported and encouraged the efforts of the organizing staff, principally Soyun Sun, to promote the CATs. But at some campuses, some chapter presidents, including here at East, weren't supportive of this guild-level initiative. They resisted the guild-level efforts to do organizing on campuses. And on campuses where that was true, there was a much lower level of engagement than on the campuses that welcomed it as a proportion of the size of the membership. at e-board meetings and in our own chapter meetings and at the candidates forums, I've heard a lot of rhetoric promoting this idea that the guild should not be spending union dues on having professional organizing staff doing organizing on the campuses. As far as I can tell, our paid union organizers played a very important role in the campaign for adjunct healthcare and in mobilizing the membership to be more involved in this contract negotiation cycle than in the past. Also, in getting AFT 1521 members out in solidarity with other unions' actions. These priorities come from the guild leadership, not from the paid organizers whose job it is to execute the priorities of the leadership. The more I've learned, though, about the history of the CATS, however, the more complicated it becomes, because it turns out the people who early on promoted the idea apparently ended up on the other side of it as it developed. And again, I don't want to oversimplify something that isn't simple and that I'm not an authority on. This is a subject for ongoing discussion, but it's something that we as members should be talking about because it matters. I think it's a key issue in the dynamic at the e-board, but it's being fought in what I would call proxy battles that seem to be about other things. In this election, it's being retailed in some quarters as an us versus them struggle over who gets to determine how and which rank and file members are activated. My take is that we need as many oars in the water as possible to be a strong union, and I'm in favor of having paid organizers help with the work of organizing, but I'm not in favor of it without qualification. It should be possible to retain some space for criticizing what we don't like without becoming an enemy of the state, so to speak. But again, that's a function of organizational culture, and we have a way to go to build a healthy organizational structure across the guild. I do think we're on the way. I hope we're on the way. I also think that a lot of the conflict on the e-board is coming from the notion that there are some e-board members who want to play a larger role in deciding the work of the paid staff. And finding that they don't have it, they're fighting the existence of the role itself. I think some of what I've heard expressed as concern about a lack of democracy and particularly focusing on a number of procedural or bureaucratic issues. I think that's really the result of the fact that the guild leadership, and here I mean McKeever and his administration, setting a direction for staff that some of the e-board members don't want. And I wish that that were the explicit subject of debate, because I think it is the implicit issue at the heart of the conflict. But in any case, there's division at the level of e-board. I saw this very much a similar dynamic at the Pacifica Foundation board. It was a polarized board with a couple of factions, one of which supported our executive director, who was the board's only direct report, and the other opposed him. And there were factions at the various stations. We had five stations across the country, who saw the ED and the actions of the national office as a threat and a challenge to their control at their stations. So this then played out as a lot of indirect proxy battles on the board, in which some board members would try to pass motions directing the ED to do this or that thing, or they'd accuse each other of some terrible perfidy or other and demand some oversight process to limit whatever they didn't like or whatever they claimed had been violated. But the problem with proxy battles in a case like this is that boards can't run organizations. A board can't be dictating what the executive does, because the board process is just inappropriate for that. Boards set policies, and then the executives have to be entrusted to execute the policy. And from time to time, you have elections. The board membership can change, and the criticism about execution should be distinct from the criticism about direction. And if we could get at least consensus at a policy level on direction, then you could have discussions about execution, but those should not be the kind of thing that boards are spending all their time on. When the board contains a group that object to the executive's actions, you can easily get into the kinds of battles we're seeing at the e-board level, which really undermine the work of the body. Now, our e-board has 40 people on it, I believe. Not only can a body that size not run an organization, it can barely manage to run its own meetings. It can barely manage to get through any given agenda in the allotted time. I've heard some criticisms of McKeever suggesting that he runs meetings autocratically, and these are being leveled at him by people whose real objections are, I think, somewhat different, and they have to do with the substance and not the process of his leadership. For example, as Sandra expressed, she doesn't like creation of what she's calling a shadow union. But as somebody who chaired a 22-member board under similar conditions of polarization for 2 years and was involved with such boards for a lot longer, and who's watched a lot of board meetings, been involved in a lot of board meetings, I've watched a couple of the e-board meetings, and I don't find McKeever to have an autocratic style of running meetings at all. I would say he does pretty well given the divided nature of his board. And I personally find fault with the approach that criticizes him for that, when I think the real criticisms are something else. Let's talk about the substance, shall we? And maybe we can make progress and even find ways to make compromise. I've heard in the course of the candidate forums and seen in the mailings a number of what I would call process objections that are made to sound as though they reflect some deep flaws or suppressed corruption or power machinations. But my perception, as someone who's paid at least some attention, is again that many of these are really proxy battles about an underlying anger and frustration over who has authority and power and how it's being used. It's my hope and wish that we could get to the substantive issues over the differences of opinion. I don't care who is responsible for activating the membership as long as it's happening, because I trust the membership to be fully capable of exerting itself in the direction of its own interests. I don't see our membership as being vulnerable to manipulation by some Svengali. Perhaps I'm being naive here, but to me, the issue is promoting member engagement. And I see that James McKeever and his team have been unabashedly supportive of this goal, which I share, and I'm happy to express my support for them. At the same time I say this, it's my hope that whatever the outcome of the election, it'll be possible to find a way to tone down the polarization within the Guild, because this fight over power in the union is undermining the power of the union. Thanks to our union contract, we all have a lot of job security, which means no one goes away when a battle's over. So vanquishing an opponent in these battles isn't actually a win. We have to conduct these contests in ways that allow us to work together when they're over. And here we come back, I think, to the issues about discomfort and stepping out. That is, if you step out, you might get called on the carpet for things that aren't the real things, aren't the real objections, but instead are things that are hard to defend oneself against. How do you defend yourself against the claim that you're an autocrat? One of the real problems with this kind of fight is it undermines the ability of the board to exert the needed oversight, because you end up with factional alignments that don't allow legitimate concerns to get addressed, because with the breakdown in trust, every issue ends up seeming like a power issue. If it's your opinion that guild-level organizing efforts on our campus should be resisted, then you may want to vote for candidates who are clear about their position on that. If you're in favor of guild-level organizing efforts conducted by professional staff, you should vote for candidates who are in favor of that. I am in favor of that. And I don't see the effort to include many more new rank-and-file members into guild-level organizing as the creation of a shadow union, but rather as the promotion of a stronger union by involving interested members more. I'm recommending Jose Iseas and Tina Dominguez for eBoard. They were involved with our local CAT, and I think they'll bring a lot of new energy. And in my discussions with them, I think they're both interested in getting the eBoard away from these faction fights and focused on policy level decision making. I'm also running for eBoard myself, and I'd appreciate your vote for that as well as your vote for chapter president, though if I'm elected to both, I'll need to decline the position on eBoard. All right, that's it for today. Thank you very much again for taking the time to listen. I hope you found some part of it interesting, and thank you for your support. I'll see you next time, and in the meantime, have a great day, and thank your lucky stars that we have a union.